Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
How much can the world really change in one decade? And as I mentioned already, it has changed so much in the last decade. I suppose the biggest change is AI, which basically involves everything. Facial recognition and all that kind of stuff. iPhones, iPads, electric cars. We have had massive change in the last 10 years. I remember somebody telling me once that if the car industry had changed or moved as fast as the technological industry, a Rolls Royce would be the size of a matchbox and would cost 50 pence. Do you understand the points that I'm trying to make? In other words, the way things have got smaller, less expensive. And I know you think they haven't got less expensive, but they have. If you were to buy the technology we have now, like when you buy, say, a PC now, you can go into Harvey Normans or whatever and buy a reasonably cheap PC for your kid to use Microsoft Word and Google and everything else for 300 quid. That same PC would have cost you, and it wouldn't have been anywhere close to as powerful. If you go back, say, 20 years, that same PC would have cost you 1,500 quid, $2,000. So technology has got cheaper, but it has got better. So that's why we pay a bit more money now. That's why our phones are more expensive, because of the technology inside them. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe phones are completely overpriced, be it Apple or Samsung. I believe they're completely overpriced. They don't need to be that price. That's Apple and Samsung obviously profiteering and making huge money. They're not costing anywhere close to that coming out of a factory. Good value for money, I suppose, is something like a PlayStation. And the way that model works, say, for Sony is, they don't make a huge amount of money on the sale of the PlayStation itself. I remember actually the PlayStation 3, I think it was, when they released it, they were selling it for less than it was costing to produce it when you took into consideration research and development. And the reason they do that is because every game you buy is licensed to Sony. So every game that's purchased in the world for a Sony PlayStation, Sony get a cut. Same way as every app you buy or purchase on your Apple phone, Apple get a cut. Samsung from the Google Play Store, they get a cut. So they all get little cuts. And that's why some of them, apart from Apple and Samsung, who are profiteering, will sell their items sometimes for what it's below cost to develop. Anyway, getting back to what I was talking about. So where do you see us, if we've moved that far in 10 years, where do you see us in another 10 years? Will there still be electric cars, or will we have something else? Will there be flying cars? Will we have public transport with no drivers? Where do you see us in 10 years? Will we have roads that fly across the sky in the middle of Dublin City? Can't imagine it. We haven't been able to improve our public transport in the last 20 years. Okay, let me go to Martin first if I can. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm well, Niall. Good evening. Thank you.
Good. Martin, if you had a crystal ball the next 10 or 20 years, what changes do you see?
Well, I won't base it on a crystal ball. I'll base it on just basic observations of the way the world is going and the way our country is going and the way technology is going. pardon me. Mm-hmm. I think on a technology basis, let's deal with that one first. I really do think, and we touched on this the other night, the rise of AI and quantum computing is extremely dangerous, and everyone is whistling past the graveyard. As I said, even the people who are at the very top in the development of quantum computing and artificial intelligence, they don't even understand the things that artificial intelligence is doing. They'll admit that themselves. They don't really understand how it's working. I think
quantum computer. I watched a documentary about it. Now at the moment they're still struggling, you know, because they have to obviously they can build the chip, but the problem is not just the chip. Everything else around it has to be built as well, which is the memory and everything else to keep up with the speed of the quantum computing and the quantum chips. The quantum chips, something that would normally take, I don't know, 6 months to calculate on a regular chip or Intel chip at the moment, could take 6 seconds on a quantum chip. So, I mean, it doesn't use a binary system. So that's the difference.
It takes far less than 6 seconds.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know. So, it's...
Yeah. But, like, what I'm saying is, now, I don't know. I have no evidence of it. But, well, I have evidence of the fact that, you know, AI is being given charge of all kinds of things. You know, I mentioned the other night, weapon systems, transport, power supply, water purification, water plants, you know, traffic control. AI is coming in and taking over those roles which were being done by conventional computers, because they can operate so fast. And yes, they're still quite a distance away from perfecting it, if perfecting it is the word people want to use.
Mm.
But I honestly think it's dangerous. Because,
but didn't we all say that back in the 1980s when computers were coming in first?
What you're talking about is, yes, when computers, I remember when computers were brought in first, when I had an office and we got the first
IBM,
computer,
the IBM computers, or Hewlett Packard or Compaq.
We were being told that the computer would lead to the paperless office.
Yeah, it would take over jobs. It would take our jobs.
Yeah, but most offices you go into now, people don't even trust cloud storage. They still want hard copy.
No, I'm the same. I've a million scripts on my desk here. I still print everything out.
Yeah. Because it's in our nature. But you see, with AI, we're handing over the control of everything with normal standard computing processes. You can walk up and switch it off. But AI will become so integrated around the planet that you won't be able to, you couldn't orchestrate them.
But can I say something to you, Martin? I've used AI a lot in the last few months when I've been unwell. I've used ChatGPT, and I'm not going to lie. And it may, you know, when doctors tell you something and you don't really understand it, and they say, oh, something in your blood is a little bit high, and you're going, what does that even mean? You know, and then you go on to ChatGPT and ask it. ChatGPT uses some trusted sources. Yes, you don't always believe it. It's not always correct. But it uses generally trusted sources. And it explains in a very simple language to you what might be going on in your body. And it makes me very self-aware of what I'm being told by doctors and how to respond to that. So what I'm saying is, it has helped people. It helps us in the podcast during the day, for example. A lot of our scripts for the website, it speeds up the process of uploading stuff, because we put a bit of information in. ChatGPT writes the editorial for the podcast. So it helps us. It is helpful.
Niall, I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that it's a useful tool. But, you know, the hydrogen bomb, I presume some people would think, was a useful tool.
Mm.
It was a very dangerous tool, but at least for most of its existence, it has been pretty much under the control of human beings who can make a decision. And there were many, many, many close calls where people just went, no, I have a gut feeling this is not right. That wasn't an actual missile launch from the Russians or from the Americans or whatever else. We're not going to respond because this doesn't feel right.
I know, and I get what you're saying. The likes of ChatGPT is open to propaganda, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, but even, I mean, ChatGPT is a very, very, very small element of what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that when you cede control to a mechanism that you don't fully understand, you have absolutely no way of controlling it. And that's what, I mean, there's nobody will convince me that they understand it, because they don't. The people at the very top, the so-called experts, don't even understand a lot of what's happening. So from a technological point of view, I don't know. I think AI I think it's dangerous. It's not dangerous when you're using ChatGPT and things like that. I mean, it's not a threat to human life or the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably not. But when you start ceding control, when you put AI in charge of vital infrastructure, in charge of military defense, in charge of vital things like water supply, electricity, you know, sewage, traffic management, all of these things, when AI decides, actually, these human beings are a pain in the ass because they just make my job more difficult, it can turn everything against us. Now, I've no evidence of it, but I'm wondering what happened in Portugal with the power outage.
Mm.
Was that...
Well, they still don't know why that happened.
Exactly.
Allegedly.
They don't know.
They're saying it could be atmospherics. I don't know what they mean by that. What, solar flare, EMT? I don't know.
What does that mean, atmospheric? I mean, that's...
Well, I'm assuming they're talking about a solar flare of EMT, which... Well, but mind you, that would take a lot more out than that.
But if there was, that would be...
It'd be world news.
If there was a solar flare or a mass coronal ejection or whatever else, I mean, astronomers all over the world,
I said EMT.
You know, I'm a bit of an amateur astronomer. I go on, I check Astronomy Ireland regularly. It'll be there. It'll be evident. We'd know about it.
Okay, well, hang on, Martin, just for a second, because I need to go to Paul, Alan, and also Steve, by the way, as well. Paul, hi, how are you?
How are you now? How are things?
Good. Paul, where do you see us in the next 10? What do you think is going to be the next development in 10 years?
Just butt into whatever. I'm actually in Malaga. I'm phoning for you from Malaga. And obviously, we had this
power
cut yesterday. Yeah. They don't know really what happened, but this the whole place was blacked out.
Mad.
Rain stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually in a camper van, so I'm okay. But the hotel next door, where I go in and have my dinners and stuff, was totally blacked out completely. So that fella has got a good point. Because
yeah, they still have they've no idea what happened, by the way. They've no idea why it happened.
No, they don't.
Seems bizarre.
Funny enough, the guards, I call them the guards, the police, yeah?
Yeah.
The police come up to me last night because it was so black here, he wanted to make sure I was okay. That was nice of him, you know?
Yeah.
But he's right because the trains stopped still. I mean, literally, the whole country come to a standstill.
On a side note, by the way, can I say to everybody, isn't that the reason why we should all have some cash just in case? Because if for example, the power goes, mass power outage like that,
you know
no ATM machines, you know?
Niall.
Yeah.
Hang on, Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Niall.
Go ahead, Paul.
Right. Sorry, Niall. So, obviously, I'm contactless, you know, on my card.
Yeah.
And I went into the hotel, and it happened at about 12:30. And I went, oh, can I have a drink, please? And they went, no energy, no electricity. And they went, oh, go on, don't worry. And they give us all free drinks and food and everything. I mean, I'm not really staying in the hotel, but they didn't mind, you know what I mean? They just went, go on.
That was good of them. Okay, well, just very quickly, because I'm running out of time, Paul, in relation to what you think the big changes in 10 years.
I think in 30 years, what's going to happen is, I think governments and all decisions are going to be made by computerized AI. I think that fella's right. And it's going to become dangerous. Because if Spain and Portugal, where I am now, well, I'm in Spain, could come to a standstill in 2 seconds, anyone can run any country.
Mm.
No, I think that fella's right about the computers. I think, Martin, I think his name is.
Yeah.
I think that it can be very dangerous, computer-wise. I think we need to go back a little bit, like what you just said to him as well, that you do paper, and I think it needs to go back to a bit more manually operated by people.
Yeah, so keep paper and let's not get rid of cash just in case. Yeah.
No, very quickly.
Yeah, well, funny enough, there was people in there with some cash, but in the hotel, it was all contactless. I mean,
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It is for most people now, particularly on holidays, by the way. Very few people bring cash on holidays. Sorry, Martin, just before I go to Alan, you want to say something quickly? Go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly. I didn't entirely escape what happened there. Now, I don't know about other industries, but you know I'm in the security industry. And I won't go into too much detail on the radio, but I could forward an email to you that I got from a third-party controller in this country who controls communications between certain sites, which some of those sites would have life-vital consequences, not just security. And a lot of those systems went down here last night. And
why is that? Because their servers might have been in Spain?
Because everything now is so integrated.
Mm.
Because, you know, they have backups which are backed up, but they're backed up to other things that are integrated, if you know what I mean. I don't know exactly what went wrong, but I got an email, and if you want, I will forward that
email.
No,
that's okay. I believe you.
Explaining that, you know, these issues that I had to deal with some of them last night. Now, admittedly, I could only deal with them over the phone because there was nothing I could do about them. But that happened. Now, it wasn't a huge effect here. I can only talk about within my own industry. It may have happened to people in other industries. I don't know. But
I can imagine that. And I'm sorry, I'm running out of time here rapidly, but I need to go to Alan and Steve as well. So I'm going to have to take a quick short break. And Alan and Steve, I'm going to come to you straight after the break. Martin, stay with me if you want to. All right, let me go to Alan. Alan, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall.
I've been listening to Paul there and what happened in Spain obviously was a big problem. And that just goes to show you how technology can go wrong, because obviously it was technology that caused the problem. They don't know yet, by the way, which is quite, by the way, I find it quite bizarre that they don't know why it happened. That's just bizarre. Anyway. Anyway.
Well, Niall.
Yeah.
A hand up in Palmerstown tonight, over 20,000.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Out. Yeah.
So to me, I don't know if you remember, Niall, that program that came out years ago called V.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Right. Well, I have a supposition about technology as it comes looking very inviting and everyone thinks it's great and we all have our mobiles and we're all reconnecting and we're all saying what we want to do and we're all on radio stations on the phone and we're all doing internet banking and we're all doing everything on this byproduct of modern technology. But I believe it's leading us to the state of super consciousness where we will no longer be reliant on money, food, war. And we're going into a state of superhumanism. And it's taken a long time to reach that goal after 14 billion years of evolution. And we're going into a state where eventually, say 100 years from now, all humans will be connected to a mothership of technology in their brains.
Right.
And they will all connect and you'll be able to switch her off and disconnect and reconnect and disconnect. Phones are an outward symbol of the brain and we're all going to be connected to the World Wide Web in a way that makes this technology we're using now is a forerunner to the super consciousness of union, the union of nations. It's
not very complicated. So in other words, we're all going to be plugged in is what you're saying.
We're all going to be plugged in.
Well, we're already kind of plugged in, although it's on a voluntary basis.
We're going to be plugged in a way.
Can you still hear me?
I can, Paul, yeah.
We're going to be semi-computers.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Paul. You want to say something? Ellen?
If yesterday in the hotel, I can assure you now, we'd have had no phones, we couldn't use no cards, no nothing. We didn't even know what to do. We was all just sitting there blaming whoever. I don't want to say who everyone was blaming, but we was blaming everyone. But we didn't know actually what to do. We never had no cash, no nothing. The hotel give us sandwiches. And we was buggered. We was just knackered. We didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's the point that everybody's making. When you start to rely on technology and then all of a sudden it lets you down because something happens and maybe Martin is right, AI in the future could decide, I'm going to mess with these people and turn off the power, we're doomed. We're finished. We lose security, we lose money, we lose everything. Stay there for a second. Thank you for that, Paul. Stay there, Alan, please. I want you to stay there for this. Let me go to Steve as well. Steve, hi, how are you?
So what I will say is, if I had to take an educated guess that civilization as we know it will not exist in its current format in 10 years, and that's not a good thing.
And that's a big jump, isn't it?
And trust me when I say this, I've done my research on this. They're all talking about AI taking over, making conscious decisions to kill us all. Don't worry about that, lads. People will do that long beforehand, and that's all down to quantum computing. Quantum computing right now, if you look at an average computer, 128-bit computer, Niall, do you know how many years it would take to crack a 128-bit code?
No.
Take a guess.
No, I have no idea.
Take a guess. Go on, say a number of years.
60.
Billions. It would take billions of years to crack the code. It would take a quantum computer, under an hour to do that. And whoever holds the key to that has the key to everything on this planet. This is why all the big countries are struggling to get their force. And I pray that America gets there before China. I pray that North Korea never gets there or countries like Russia never get there because they can hack everything. And I mean absolutely everything under an hour. Missile silos.
Because when you use encoding, encoding is essentially just a password, but it's a very long password.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and for those long passwords, your average computer just couldn't do it, wouldn't be able to hack it. But for quantum computer, it can do it in a fraction of a second.
Well, it depends on the password, whether it's 64 or 128. Look, it'll knock it down to under an hour. If I want the missile silos passwords for every one of them in America, I'll get that within an hour. If I was China, they'd be pressing buttons left, right and centre. Whoever gets the key, whoever has that, gets there first, I just pray it's the good guys. Because they have to develop a system that's stronger than quantum computing to protect the rest of the computing.
But that most likely will. But that most likely will happen, because it's always happened with technology that something better will come along.
Oh yeah, but here's the thing, Niall. Something better will come along, but in the meantime, all of our current technology is based off of the old stuff. Therefore,
It's still based on the IBM chipset, the original IBM chipset. Yeah.
In other words, I could turn off power grids. I could turn off water supplies. I could do anything I wanted if I had the power. Whereas, 100 years ago, to turn off a power supply, you had to have a man go up and turn off a tap, basically. Now you can do it from sitting in Russia if you wanted to. This is scary, and this is 100% true. This is why nobody is talking about it out publicly, but this is why Donald Trump invested so much money into AI, because they're trying to get to quantum computing before everybody else does. It's scary.
And is that the only thing that's scary? I mean, when I asked the question at the start of the show, I was talking about other things too, like geographical changes, flying cars, electric cars. Well, electric cars won't exist in their current format, by the way. The current EV model of, charging a car for 7 hours, that's not going to exist in 5 years' time.
No, what you will see is before, and now quantum computing could be cracked tomorrow, or it could be 10 years down the line. I predict about 5 to 10 years' time. But before that, you're going to have so many advancements. The one I love the best is the personalized medication, where you'll actually have your DNA tested and you will have personalized medication given to you that would be completely different than anything else on the market.
Mm.
Which is a fantastic idea.
The other thing I read the other day is that in 10 years' time, there'll be no doctors, no GPs. It'll be all done through AI, to ChatGPT.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, synthetic food. Synthetic food is on its way as well. Home lab-grown meats. That's a thing on its way.
Jesus. Wouldn't be into that. So, Martin, do you get that? That's kind of scary stuff, isn't it, Martin?
Oh, yeah, and Steve is absolutely right. I mean, all these things, it's not for nothing that the big pharmaceutical companies, the bio companies, the whole lot of them, the technology companies, they're all investing hugely in these things because they know there are profits in it. And Steve is right. I mean, I know I was harping on about AI, but I did mention quantum computing because it's so hard to get your head around the fact that, our current computing system works off basically noughts and ones, whereas a quantum computer operates in both states. You know, it's zero and one.
Schrodinger's cat, isn't that what they call it?
It's mind-blowing, but Steve is absolutely right. But you see, the thing is, I think quantum computing and AI will be merged.
Do you, Alan, do you use computers at all? Are you computer literate, or are you into technology?
I only use the phone, and I don't send the emails. I look at Google and I look at YouTube and other things like that. But I wouldn't be a whiz kid on sending emails.
Does it worry you? Have you heard of quantum computing? Everybody seems to be talking.
I've heard of the supercomputers that they're coming into focus. And like, if you look at this phone that we use every day, they're supercomputers compared to 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, compared to 20 years ago.
About 20 years
There's more
ago.
Technology in my watch than there was in the whole of NASA when they sent, allegedly, a man to the moon.
If you look at some of the fantasies that were said about 5G and all the new speed of Wi-Fi, I mean, we had people saying it was directly connected to the disease. What's it called?
I just don't know. That was nonsense.
And it was just crazy. People were coming up with all these...
There was people saying they were injecting chips into us and all sorts of things. By the way, lads, Martin and Steve, seems you know a lot about technology. I'm kind of surprised. Firstly, 5G never really took off.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did and it didn't. How many times does your phone pick up 5G? Mine doesn't pick it up too often.
All the time. I'm on 5G.
You must be near a mast.
I am near a mast.
But here, it took, it's like we're on 4G. most of us still from 4G, unless you happen to have a 5G mast near you, for the last 5 years. It surprises me that we're not at 6 or 7G at this stage.
Well, no, 5G coverage is, you know, with Ireland has almost 99% 5G coverage. It just depends on what network you're on. You know, Three could have it in one area, but not in another area. And you could, you know, that's why you're not.
And it's great when you get it. You get up to 400 megabytes or 500 megabytes when you can get it.
But can I just tell you one last scary thing about this whole quantum thing, because it's in my mind and I just want to say it. What, you know, people think, okay, access to missile silos, all that type of stuff. We will have to turn off every television, every mobile phone, anything that's connected to the internet, because your bank account can be drained within a second. So if you're connected electronically to anything, your bank accounts, your medical information, everything, bang, out to the world. That's where we're screwed. We will be thrown back.
There was
to
a
the
story on the internet tonight, just very quickly before I go into the break. There was a story tonight on the internet, a big story actually from Google, a warning to people with Gmail that there's a new malware that's gone out, and they are saying it's the most advanced malware yet. And seemingly it can, just like you said, it can drain your bank account, it can do everything once all your information is on your phone. And you don't actually have to open the link, you only have to open the email.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and they were talking about it. They were just saying it's for something to do with Gmail customers. Maybe people can read it. Maybe I've got it completely wrong. But it is seemingly the next advancements or step forward in malware, which always is advancing. Yes, sorry, Martin.
Yeah, sorry, just very quickly. I mean, I'm not a technophobe. I can't be with the job that I do. Alan said we all do internet banking. We all do online banking. I don't.
Do you not?
Now, they're mentioning it. Absolutely never. Because I know the risks are involved.
Well, you're a part of a minority now, Martin.
Of course I am, but then I am that kind of, you know, I'm that fight back, grumpy old, you know what.
But Martin, here's a question for you. Here's a question for you. You have a mobile phone, don't you?
Of course I do, Steve, yeah.
So your mobile phone has a microphone and an internet access. So again,
yes, of course.
People can listen in at any time.
Oh, they are already.
Yes, of course. I accept all that, but I'm not going to make it easy for the sons of bitches. That's what I'm saying. And they make it more difficult for me. Every time you go into a bank, there's less staff, and you're expected to do everything on a computer and all that. But as long as I can do things the way I do them, I will do it that way. Maybe more inconvenient, but I value my privacy.
Banks are useless now, by the way.
Well,
last
word of warning to everybody. Ask yourself, why are billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg building bunkers underground? And he's not the only one. There's billionaires across the planet all building bunkers under the ground using Faraday cages to stop all electronic signals and all that type of stuff. They know somebody.
But they're also afraid of solar flares. And we talked about that in the podcast before, Steve. Solar flares, and you kind of explained that very well. So explain to people very quickly, because some people had suggested that yesterday's power outage in Spain and Portugal was to do with atmospherics. And I did see one article, somebody mentioned a solar flare, but I don't think it could have been a solar flare. That would have been a lot more damage.
If it was a solar flare, it would have not just affected one tiny area. We'd all know about it. And every astronomer across the world would be saying, my God, mass coronal ejection yesterday wiped out all this, because it's an EMP. An electric magnetic pulse that wipes out all sorts of electronic devices. Even if you have a, what's that thing you call for your heart?
A pacemaker.
It would turn that off in a second. So if we have one of those mass coronal ejections, we're screwed.
And how often do they happen? Do they happen often, every couple of thousand years, or how often?
Well, they happen quite often, but I mean, relative to time I'm talking about. You know, not in our lifetime, we're not going to see one. And when they do happen, they would normally happen at the south or north poles, not really pointed towards us, so we're kind of safe.
Mm. Okay. Sorry, Martin.
When a mass coronal, like, there have been mass coronal ejections in recent years, but fortunately, they didn't hit the earth. When the ejection happened from the sun, it was in another direction. There was one back, I think about 1913, which knocked out power grids all over North America, Canada.
Correct.
Took them down because it overloaded the system. There was so much current running through the system, and it took them weeks to get it up and running. Now, that was at a time when the technology was at a very low state. But now, almost every device on the planet is vulnerable to something like that. But that would be a natural occurrence.
But look how vulnerable we are when you see what happened in Heathrow Airport only 2 weeks ago there. So you've got one power station, substation, taken out with an explosion, which seemed to be, by the way, accidental. It doesn't look like it was set on purpose or done on purpose, or arson or vandalism or whatever. They were trying to blame the Russians at one stage, which was bizarre. But anyway, one substation goes down and the whole airport closes for nearly a day and a half.
Yeah.
That just shows you how vulnerable we are.
They've often said, if you ever want to win a war, just cut off the services. Mm. Cut off electricity, cut off water, you know, and cut off the food supply. That's how you're going to win a war.
All right, lads. Look, it's been very interesting. Thank you very much indeed, Alan, Steve, Martin. Steve certainly giving us food for thought. And the main thing that seemed to come up there was computing. Everybody is fearful of the future when it comes to both AI and quantum computers. I know there's a lot of people there. Somebody says, what did you say about somebody's cat? It's an old story. It's called Schrodinger's Cat. And Martin mentioned quantum computers, and so did Steve. And the difference between quantum computing is the chip doesn't heat up because it's not actually electricity as such. Well, it is electricity that produces light. But it's light that runs through the chip, laser light. So it doesn't actually heat up, so you don't need a cooler on it to cool it down. Because the biggest problem we have at the moment with chips on computers is that once we put a lot of instructions into them or ask them to do a lot of things, they tend to heat up. And once they heat up, they slow down. So that's the biggest problem we have. But quantum computer doesn't do that. And the chip currently at the moment has two ways of looking at things. It has two switches, on and off. It's called a binary system, just on and off. But the difference of quantum computing is it can be both. It can be both on and off, which is contrary to what we've known since IBM first invented computers and invented that type of chipset and that method of computing. So it's a completely new method of computing, and it is billions of times faster than anything that we've ever seen before. So as the point Steve was making, it's capable of so much. The Schrodinger's cat thing, by the way, is a theory that if you put a cat into the box and close the lid, is the cat dead or alive? And the answer to the question is the cat can be both dead and alive at the same time. Unless you take the lid off the box, you will never know. That's the theory. Anyway, and that's the same place quantum computer works.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.